the shadow of the old stone bridge, we make our plans, don't need no hedge. Making tools from broken chains, hammer echoes, we break the reins. Candlelight on the workshop bench, fix what we can.
Hey, this is James from ShravaPunk.com. Good morning. Good chilly morning. It is 34 degrees. The weather sucks. Today we're going to talk about, are you hoarding gear or actually prepping with a plan? Should be a pretty good episode. Part of my hoodie is in my face and it's going to make me angry. So let's get into it. Let's fix my hoodie. There we go. Okay. I know we all like to buy prepper gear. We all love our freeze-dried food. We all love our guns, our gun accessories. You know what? On a whim one time, I was at it was either a gun show or it was a survival expo. I don't remember. There was a Dragon's Breath shotgun shells, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to get those. I haven't used them. They're just sitting around, but I knew what they were, and I was like, that's cool, and I want those. We all suffer from that, right? Not just the stupid impulse buys. They were cheap. I mean, I bought like 4, right? So I didn't spend like $100 on Dragon's Breath. I spent like, I don't know, $10 or something. Maybe 20, I don't know. I didn't spend much, and it was within the realm of like, I'm going to buy these. However, you have to stop and assess your situation. Are you actually prepping, or are you just buying random bullshit? So, I think I have an episode coming up soon on prepping versus hoarding, to really dig in there and do that distinction, because it does piss me off and people are like, ah, you're just hoarders. No, motherfucker. You, the jackass that went into the store and bought 20 packages of fucking toilet paper because that's what you need for the goddamned apocalypse. You are the hoarder. I would argue that you've gone beyond hoarding into just dumb fuckery. So there's that. So yes, as a prepper, we do have to buy things. Like that's not an option, right? You can't be a prepper and prepare things without making some purchases, right? And I get it. I'm not gonna dog you on buying your Dragon's Breath or whatever, but there needs to be skills and plans to back up your purchases. A lot of them, right? So in the past, I've talked about, yes, you have rice stored for the apocalypse, right? Do you know how to cook and eat rice? If you don't, there's a problem there. Are you storing foods that you actually know how to prepare and are prepared to prepare them? I mean, is rice something that you ever eat? Do you know how you like it? There are a lot of ways. There are a lot of rice-based dishes. You probably don't know most of them. I don't know most of them. I have a repertoire of ones that I do like, that I've grown to like over the years, right? When I was a kid, I feel like we ate rice regularly. I would say like once a week. Parts of my childhood are kind of fuzzy. I mean, I guess when you're like 5 and 6, you generally remember things, right? But you don't remember everything. I mean, the mundane things, like, do you remember what your mom made for dinner, like, every day of the week? No, but you get some general ideas. You're like, oh yeah, we definitely had pork chops a lot. I remember my mom making those bell pepper stuffed rice things. Obviously, as a little kid, I didn't fucking like them. I've never revisited them. because I probably would like them now, right? But I don't remember what she was doing with the rice all the time, right? I definitely remember my mom was a Southern lady. She definitely did the butter and sugar thing on rice on occasion, to which I have a lot of nostalgia for different things. That is not one of them. I am not a fan of putting butter and rice, putting butter and sugar in your rice. I do like rice pudding. I do not like butter rice mixture crap. Anyway, do you know how to cook it? Do you have seasonings and condiments to cook it with? These are things you have to do. You can't just buy rice, throw it in a bucket, and say, yep, totally prepared. I'm good to go. The apocalypse ain't got shit on me. No, that's not going to work. So practicing with your stuff, right? Learning what you can do with it. And when people come back and they're like, well, you know, if you're hungry, you'll just eat it. You're just gonna chew on uncooked rice. Like, I just want to slap people in the face when they say dumb shit like that. When people make those videos that are like, preppers will die in the collapse. Like, it's dumb fucks like that. Your belly is full of, like, rice that's uncooked, is just swelling, and your butt explodes off. Somebody make a YouTube clip of that. That'll go viral. Anyway, and it's not just rice. It's everything, right? So, I will still see in Facebook groups, people are like, oh, what should I store? And they're storing things that they think they should store. I have a twofold kind of mentality when it comes to prepping, right? Some of this stems from the fact that I am always perpetually on some diet or the other. It's on. So a long time I was on like paleo or keto low carb. So I wasn't storing certain things in, but I did store certain things. Like, I've always stored rice. I like rice a lot. I eat rice at least 5 days of the week. Generally on my days off, I don't eat rice, but I sometimes do. Anyway, I've always stored rice because it is a good, easily storable item, and I do like it, even if I want to diet at the time that doesn't particularly eat it. The rest of the stuff, though, I like to store things that I will actually eat, that I do eat. I want to try to recreate things that we eat so that we will get it down, right? And that's what you need to be doing. Storing the things that you actually eat with a mindset on things that, like, there are certain things that store well. You should probably store them too. But your basis, the bottom of your pyramid, should be built with things that you'll eat and making things that you will eat. So if you absolutely don't eat any rice whatsoever, if you have a total aversion to rice, I'm not going to tell you to store it. If you want to keep some bags for emergency or to give to neighbors, that's not terrible. For like $20, you can buy like almost 20 bags of rice. And like the 1 pound bags of rice, your neighbor's like, oh, I'm hungry. Here, eat this rice. I don't fucking like it. That's the only one I have, though. Don't ever come ask for another one. Things like that. But the bottom of your pyramid should be built with the things that you want to eat. So if you're not eating rice, find something that stores well. You can go all in on beans. Just become the pinto bean king or whatever. Hello, deer in the road. But it needs to be something that you're going to be eating. Let's move on from food. I really want to stress that, yes, you should be buying things that you need, but you really need to be focusing on your skills. So the skills don't always require money at all, and they will enable you to use your stuff. I just have another point I want to cover. We'll go through the skills, and then I'll go back to that. If I remember it, I'll say it out loud in case I forget it, and you guys can yell at me. I'm going to cover testing your gear. That's important part of your plans. Anyway, you can find all the information in the entire universe for free on the internet. YouTube will basically teach you everything you ever wanted to learn times two easily. So these things often don't require anything to buy, or you need to get the thing to utilize the skill. So you want to go learn how to do some bushcrafting stuff. There's a bazillion videos on it, and you generally need next to nothing, except for you'll definitely need a knife, right? You'll need a knife. You can't do any bushcrafting without a knife. You can basically do everything in bushcrafting with a knife, but some accessories will make it easier. I.e., yes, you can go out there with your knife and make your cordage, and then do all your crafting from that. Or you could just, you could buy the cordage and speed things along. Learning how to make cordage is a good skill to have. I've played with it. I haven't sat around and made a bunch of cordage. I made sandal straps for woven sandals that I made one time, just like a quick and dirty. Anyway, so I did the concept. I just didn't go make a foot of cordage and come back and tell me how you feel about it. Okay? It is a pain in the ass. So go to YouTube, learn yourself something, and then practice it. Practice it, practice it, practice it. And that is a good use of your time and stuff. Make your plans. So plans don't require money. They do require time, and they are boring. Having your food stored, having your gear, and no plan, you don't know where you're going or what you're doing, right? Yes, you can kind of improvise as you go, but having a plan is better. So it's a good framework. So as an analogy, right? So I've talked about it. I'm writing a book. I am like 80,000 words into this book. I'm going towards like 100,000 words, and then that should be, it should be like a 100,000 word book. And then you'll be able to buy it on like Amazon Kindle. I'm really trying to seduce a ebook person, because my goal is I want to listen to my book. Like that's my goal. I want to make money, but I had not done. Anyway, there are two ways to write a book. Basically two ways. There are two methods, two principles. They're called outlining and discovery writing. I tend to be a bit of a both person, right? And I think some people flirt with one or the other, but they tend to be one way or the other. Outlining is you sit down and you make an outline. And it could be a massive outline where you outline every tiny little aspect of the book. And when you go to write, you're like, oh, I'm writing this part of the outline. And you sit down and blah, 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 blah. Or discovery writing, where you just sit down and you start writing and you discover things. You're like, oh, this is what happens. Oh, this is what... It's like just going through there. Anyway, writing my book, I did a loose outline. And then as I'm writing, I'm like, you know what? They should go do this. There was a part of the story and I was like, shit, the book's not going to be long enough. So I was like, let's just send them over here. And they're going to do this. Oh, and there's going to be this character. And that turned out to be my favorite character in the book so far. Anyway, you can kind of do that in prepping. I would say being a full discovery prepper, if we want to call it that, not a good idea. To fly by the seat of your pants. Not good for long-term survival. Having a framework of a plan and then improvising as you go could work. If you're like a crazy outline every single part of your preps, but you have the ability to adapt, I feel like having a plan and having the ability and skill sets to improvise and adapt is the best way to go. If you are the kind of person that cannot at all change, adapt, and overcome, Jack Spirko tells this story, right? You're following a recipe. Recipe calls for celery. You don't have celery. Fuck it, I can't do it. I quit. That is a real thing. In my brain, that's just stupid. But that's, to a lot of people, I have seen Couch Potato Mike just have a full-on, like, just panic attack because he's missing a fucking ingredient. Well, I gotta go drive an hour to the fucking store and get this fucking ingredient. You can probably just leave it out. I get annoyed sometimes, but I just keep going. Multiple ways, right? So, if you're missing the main ingredient, you really got to get squirrely at that point. What are you doing running up on me, car? Go around. Go. Why are people driving on your ass at like 3 in the morning? Go. Go. Oh, well. I'll just ignore you and keep talking. Anyway. I either just leave out the ingredient, because it usually doesn't make a big difference anyway, leaving out one ingredient. Or you can Google alternatives, or in cooking, oftentimes you can just, you know, something that's complementary, you could add it, right? In baking, it gets a bit squirrely. And there are substitutions that you can know and learn and use those. I have discovered that mayo does a fairly decent replacement for an egg if you don't have an egg, right? I discovered this through Google and watching some stuff, but it stemmed from, I was making a box of Jiffy cornbread one day with no egg, and I was like, well, fuck, what can I use? I wasn't like freaking out and panicking and being like, oh no, I've already committed to making this fucking cornbread, what can I do? I just started looking for replacements and seeing which ones I had. And they're like, you use 3 tablespoons of mayo. Don't quote me. You have to look it up. I think it's 3 tablespoons. It could be 1. I don't know. So I did that. And by God, it worked. I would say the cornbread was maybe a tad bit crumblier than usual. But it worked. I mean, it was fine. It tasted okay. I want to say one time I did that in a box of brownie mix too, and it too was fine, right? It works fine. I've heard applesauce is a good one. There are different things you can use. So you get to it and you're like, well, I'm just gonna swap it out with this. Or if it is some tiny ingredient, see if there's a similar ingredient, or just skip it. Don't worry about it. Let's move on to the testing, right? You moron. Is your dick so small you have to ride on people's asses? You must be a rapist. There's a rapist back here. I've banned the show. You can't say rapist. Anyway. You can have all the gear in the world. You can have the best plan in the world. You can have your skills. If you don't test the gear that you buy and train with it, good luck, right? You don't know. The people that buy stuff for their bug out bag and throw it in the package in their bug out bag, you are retarded. You don't know that it works, right? You take your knife out for the first time that you bought off of Temu and that bitch breaks. Don't buy your knife from Temu. They do have a Benchmade one though for so cheap, and I'm like, is it just coming from the Benchmade factory? And just, I'm tempted to buy it. Oh, thank goodness you're going away, small wiener. Are you a work van? I will call your company. Anyway. What is that sound? Oh. Test your stuff. You have to know if it works. You have to know how it works. You have to be familiar with it. It has to be like second nature. Go out there hiking and test it out. Fun story. Okay, you can have a laugh at this. This is many, 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 many years ago. I was in survival. Obviously, this is like 2009 or something, maybe. I just got into survival. I'd grown up as a city boy. I had never touched firearms until I was an adult. And I got into survival. Like, I was in my late 20s or so. Maybe 30s? Anyway, I was a grown-ass adult. I never touched firearms. Obviously, to be a prepper, I knew I had to go buy a main battle rifle. So I made that purchase. I looked around. I thought about it very hard, right? I didn't look for videos on how to shoot the firearm. I eventually made my decision, and I bought me a Stag Arms left-handed model AR-15. I go out to the shooting range with my buddy, right? We can't figure out how to fucking shoot this thing. We're looking all over. We're like, oh, the safety's off. We're pulling the trigger. We should be able to... Imagine if this was the fucking apocalypse, right? You buy your AR-15. You never take that motherfucker shooting. You've never been a shootist. And you're out there trying to figure out how to fucking shoot your AR-15. Eventually, maybe through Google, I don't remember, we discover the charging handle and we fire it. And from there, it's fine and it's good. And I've shot my AR-15 a million times since then. But that first time was pretty sketchy. I'm sure the other people at the range are like, these dumb fucks. So, you gotta test your gear. And with that, let's go ahead and get to the housekeeping. If you enjoyed this episode, do consider joining the Survival Punk Army, which you can do for as low as $5 a month or as much as $50 per year, where your benefits are you get exclusive discount to vendors, ebooks, and the episodes that convenience download zip files. Next, consider joining on Patreon, where you can join as low as $1 a month, as much as $5 per month, where your main benefit is you get the episode earlier. Except for yesterday. Yesterday was a shit show and debacle. I'm sorry. And I'm working via this weekend. We should get back on track. You'll get your Monday episode on Sunday, and then it'll be squared away from there. Next, you can go to survivalpunk.com, click on any of the episodes. There'll be an Amazon item of the day for something that complements the episode or is just a good item to have in general. If you buy said Amazon item of the day, I make a few pennies. You don't have to pay anything extra. And we're all happy. Next, consider sharing the show wherever you hang out online. If you're on Facebook, you're on MeWe, you're on Truth Social, you're on X, share the episode and let people know, hey, James just did a good episode on this particular topic. That's a cool little construction vehicle. And with that, this has been James from SurvivalPunk.com. DIY to survive, you guys.
In the shadow of the old stone bridge, we make our plans, don't need no hedge. Making tools from broken chains, hammer echoes, we break the reins. Workshop bench, fix what we can, come hell or French. Notes in hat, just common sense. Brick by brick, we build our fence. We're ready for the storm, come what may. Brothers, sisters in the fray. When the world goes dark, we'll find a way. Together we stand, come night or day. No government hand to guide our fate, just us and ours, and the hours late. Growing gardens in cracked old pots, trading skills, connecting dots. Steel and leather patched and sewn, inventions from the seeds we've grown. Nothing spared, not even pride, in the end it's side by side. We're ready for the storm, come what may. Brothers, sisters in the fray. When the world goes dark, we'll find a way. Together we stand, come night or day. We're ready for the storm, come what may.
brothers, sisters in the fray. When the world goes dark, we'll find a way. Together we stand, come night or day.